You're listening to Tassie and Carla's Faith Conversations on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. We invite you to join our conversation as we read and discuss the Bible, and together we'll discover how the Bible speaks to us today. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and Ben Ashby joins us again in the studio. Welcome, Ben, and of course, some of your friends.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. It is good to be with you. And today we are going to be talking about how God protects or guides us. And we're going to have a little bit of a chat about that. And our story comes from Acts chapter 12 today, and we are going to be looking about how God brought freedom to someone.
Mm.
And so I'm interested in digging into that. But before we do, I want to let you know that we have Jonathan and Levi joining us again.
Hello.
It's really good to have you guys with us. And Levi, I'm going to go straight to you. Can you share a time that you felt like God was protecting or guiding you?
Yeah, okay. In our last episode of this, actually, that was my first time on radio. And
well done, by the way.
Yeah, good job.
And when Ben asked me a question, my brain kind of just blanked, and then suddenly the words just, like, appeared, and I think that could be God just, like, putting the words there for me and guiding me through.
Come on.
That, which was good. Yeah, it just, like, brain was blank, and then suddenly...
Wow.
Boom, full of words.
And I guess I just want to say, Levi, I'm so glad that you're here joining with us.
Thank you.
On the show, because there's something unique about your perspective, and to have you here joining with us as we go on our journey through Acts is a real privilege. So thanks for joining with us.
Thank you.
Jonathan, is there a time that you felt like God was protecting or guiding you?
Yeah, every time I get in a plane, actually. It amazes me that thing can stay there in the air. I look out, I'm like,
oh. Are you a nervous flyer?
I have my moments.
Yeah, I hate flying.
Yeah, but then it's like, okay.
Are you one of the people who have to grip the...
If it shakes just a bit, I will tense up, I must say.
No, I hate it when you see the wings, like, bending. That's when I hate that.
Yeah, but I mean, I do know, like, pilots are well-trained.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still in the machine.
Yeah.
So, like, God, please. I do say a little prayer every time.
Well, it's funny because I forced you to get on a plane to come.
To come over here.
Yeah, that's right. So
no, it's not too bad.
I'm trying to make you face your fears.
It could have come on a boat, but I think.
Oh, that's true, actually.
I think the boat is a more scary experience than the plane.
Yeah, there you go. Jason. Is there a time you can think of where you felt like God was protecting or guiding you?
Yeah, I do remember a particular time when I was about 18 and just a young driver, and I came around a corner in my car. It was one of those days where it wasn't raining but the road was wet, and I just came around the corner and I honestly don't know what was going on. I think the tyres on my car were just really old and they'd gone hard.
Yeah.
And so... came around the corner, it was a right-hand bend, and I just kept going, and I did a complete 360, not just a 180. I think it was a complete 360,
wow.
But I ended up on the other side of the road facing the way I was going originally.
Wow.
And on a blind corner.
Yeah.
If there had been a car coming, I would have hit straight into them. There wasn't a car coming.
Yeah, God.
And think God was... looking after us that way. It was me and my sister in the car. So,
I think the feeling of having God guide you or protect you can sometimes come from the left field, or in retrospect, it comes from the left field. I guess in my life recently, there's been a fair bit of upheaval, I would say, and it's been through this time that there's different friends or something like that have just spoken wisdom into me, and they've called at the right time or sent a message at the right time. And I think sometimes, especially when things are challenging in your life, it seems like a reaction to blame God or where are you, God? You know, what's going on? And for me, in this time of upheaval, for me to go, actually, God's with me. Like, he hasn't taken the problem away or whatever, but he's with me and he's providing support around me. And so I'm really grateful for that. And it makes a difference when you can get a sense that God is there. So as we're journeying through Acts, we had a look at the conversion of Cornelius last time. And we talked about how this household converting to Christianity was a turning point for the church, not only for Cornelius, but for the people, the apostles who were going out and sharing the good news about God's plan of salvation to include all people. And this really led the beginning of the church's rapid expansion into what the word we would use is Gentile territory. But effectively, when we're saying Gentiles, we're just referring to everyone who wasn't part of the Jewish community. So it was this expansion for everyone else. Herod Agrippa the First was not pleased with his expansion of the church in Jerusalem, and he set out to deal with this upstart group by killing and imprisoning its leaders. And Peter, one of the apostles, one of the apprentices of Jesus, had been arrested. And they were hoping that if he was arrested, it would deter the spread of Christianity. And we pick up the story here with Peter in prison. And Levi, you're going to read for us today, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, and we'll go down to 17. Levi, would you be willing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us as we read?
Yep. Dear God, thank you that we can all be here today. Please be with us as we read and talk about this area of the Bible, and please help it to resonate with whoever ends up listening to this. Amen.
Amen.
Right, starting at verse 5. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up," and the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. As this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do with me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda?
Yeah.
Rhoda came to open it. Then she recognized Peter's voice, and she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said, and then he went to another place.
Thanks for reading, Levi. What an amazing story of finding freedom unexpectedly. Jason, can you just break down what have we just read? What are the key things that Levi was able to share with us?
Well, it starts here with Peter in prison, and obviously based on the context that you gave us, there was a reason for that. And he was asleep, but he was chained up, so obviously he wasn't going anywhere in a hurry. And then an angel appeared, but he was in a deep sleep. And it says that he thought he was in a vision, not real life, when the angel actually led him out. But the angel, this I find quite interesting, the angel struck him on the side to wake him up. It's like, "Come on, Peter, get up." So he told him to get dressed, put his sandals on, and the chains fell off him.
Mm-hmm.
He just fell out of the chains. And they walked out of there through all of the locked gates and everything. He walked out, and he was pretty happy about that when he realized it wasn't a dream, it was actually real. And he decided to go to the home of Mary where they were gathered for prayer. And I am guessing here that they were praying for Peter at this time.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And here he is. He knocks on the door and a girl goes out, the servant girl goes out to see who's there. And instead of welcoming him in, she gets so overjoyed that she closes the door right in his face and goes back inside and says, "Hey, Peter's at the door. Well, why didn't she let him in?" But they couldn't believe it. They said, "No, it must be an angel. Must be an angel." Peter keeps knocking, and eventually they go out and let him in, and they were, I think, overjoyed to see Peter in the flesh there.
Mm. What an amazing story. I know I keep saying it, but it just baffles me that here there's a bunch of people who are really worried about Peter, and then something so amazingly supernatural takes place. And it makes me think of the times in our lives where things aren't going well or things aren't working out, and that could be someone like in our family, it could be a family member or someone in our community. Levi, what are the people doing when Peter's in trouble? Do you remember? What are they doing?
So they're praying.
And I'm thinking about how often do we pray when something's not going well? Jason, is prayer a reflex for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a disappointing thing that we don't pray as much when things are going well. That we often get on our knees when things are not going so well.
Yeah.
We should do it all the time.
Yeah. Jonathan, do you find the same thing for you?
Yeah, it's similar to me. I find that, well, I tend not to, like, go around asking people for help much. Like, I try to figure things out.
Mm.
But I noticed that there are certain things that only I need a God to do it. And I see prayer as being that channel to reach extra power from God. And, I resort to prayer all the time. And when I'm driving, when I'm doing different activities. And I think I like to say God is like my free psychologist. He's like a counselor that I think can turn to him. That never gets tired, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had this conversation with him
and
tell him everything, my fears, my troubles and challenges, and
I want to dig into some of those challenges, Jonathan. Now, your name is Jonathan.
Yeah.
Which is not usually the names given in my culture.
Yeah, that's...
And I can hear something... No, I'm not going to say funny because that would be really unfair to all of our listeners.
Something different.
Something different. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be mean to the people who are listening in. I can be mean to Jonathan, but not everyone else. Jonathan, what I'm trying to get to is what's your heritage?
Okay, so I was born in Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah, Brazilian background.
Now, there's something else. So we're in Australia, and we're recording this down in Tasmania, which is one of the best places in the world.
Absolutely.
And so for you to get to Brazil, to Australia, or even Tassie, there's been some travelling involved.
Yes.
Now, that's two countries.
Yeah.
How many countries have you visited, Jonathan?
I guess 44.
Wow. Yeah.
Pardon?
44.
That is a lot.
Okay, that's a lot.
Oh, it's not enough, hey. I want to see more.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I've been blessed. Yeah,
okay.
I've been blessed.
So the question that I have for you is, I think about those challenges. Peter's in this really hard spot, and he has this supernatural experience of God coming to rescue him, or an angel coming. Do you believe angels still protect or interact with God's people today?
I do. I do, because as far as I have learned, like in God's word, they have their roles, they have their jobs that they're happy to do. And one of them is look after people.
And have you been looked after?
Look, I believe in that.
Yeah.
I believe, I have faith in that.
Yeah.
That I actually, if I look back in my life, Ben, I've been through situations like Jason where my life could have ended there, an accident. There were situations where the policeman turned to us and said, "Hey, you shouldn't be alive."
Really?
Yeah. I remember there was one time my dad was driving the car, flipped, capsized. It really became a sardine can, like it crunched. And then he said, I don't understand how you're alive. So moments like that.
Yeah.
Do make me wonder. There must be some unseen hand protecting me. And I know sometimes that doesn't not happen, but yeah. I never figured this out. All I know is there are times when we are protected, and I'm just grateful for that.
Mm. And as I think about it, you know, I wonder there might have been family members who were praying for you, your family and that kind of thing. And I think about this scenario with Peter, and the community is praying for Peter, and they're asking, well, as you said, rightly said, Jason, maybe they didn't actually know what was going to happen, but they were praying. Now, Jason, you and I and Levi, we're a part of the same church community. I'm wondering, is there a crazy big request that we should be praying for as a community that only God could intervene and make true? Is there something wild that you can think of that goes, by our own strength, there's no way we could do that? And should we be praying for something that is, I don't know, supernatural?
Absolutely. There should be many things that we should be praying for. I think, you know, apart from protection in those type of circumstances that we've just heard from Jonathan, but also for our church community to be transformed and to be able to reach people that we can't normally reach, to create divine appointments with people. And I see that happening where you think that situation where I met this person and spoke to them, I couldn't have organized that if I had have tried.
Yes.
Things just happen like that. But ultimately, I think God's ultimate purpose is to share the gospel with everyone.
Yes.
And I think we should be praying for him to be able to use us to do that in ways that we can't do it ourselves.
And can I say, prayer is not to convince God.
No.
Like the Bible says he loves us, he wants to work for our good. I reckon prayer is more to prepare us, like to actually relax us, to actually give us a calm attitude and say, hey, wait, he's working.
Yeah.
Trusting him.
Yeah.
You know?
It's about increasing our faith because we've prayed about it. And God says, you know, when you pray believing that it will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like pray believing who's behind the prayer.
Mm.
And it reminds me of a book. There's a scholar called John Peckham, and he's written a book on why we pray. And it's quite interesting how he unfolds the reasons of why we pray and the different aspects of what prayer can do. I'm wondering, Levi, you come from this younger perspective. I think you're kind of at that age where the world doesn't revolve around you. Yep. You're starting to realize that there's a whole other world out there and there's things going on.
Yeah.
Does something come to mind that you go, imagine if God did this, that would be absolutely incredible. If I ask you that question, is there something that comes to mind that you go, I could look back at that and I would see that only God could have done that?
Like in terms of me personally or like just world in general?
Yeah, or in your community even.
Yep. In terms of just the world in general, just like fixing everything. I know that it's very general, but like things like world hunger, things like climate change, things like wars or whatever.
Yes.
It would be so cool
for
him to just like snap his fingers and just boom, all the wars end, everyone's best friends with each other. 100%. And like looking back upon that would be such a cool thing that would happen.
It really would be. And I think we're not in that passage today, but that is a promise that Jesus is going to return.
It's coming.
He is going to do that. And we can look forward to that. But before we finish and I go to that book offer, I would just like to pray for any of our listeners who are maybe going through something. I want to pray for you. I want to lift you up to God. I want you to sense that there's people who are praying for you. Just like this community was praying for Peter, we're going to pray for you right now. God in heaven, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your care. And I thank you that you understand no matter what we're going through, you are there for us. You want to journey with us. Help us to remember that you care about us. God, please give us peace in our hearts. Help us to know that at one point all the suffering and hurt is going to be over. It would be great if you could give us a taste of that now. But God, we ask for deliverance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
It's time for our book offer today. And this book today is called Little Prayers for Tough Times. Our code word is TEF13. So get a pen ready. I'm going to give that to you again in a moment after I tell you about the book. TEF13. Text that into 0488 880 891. Little Prayers for Tough Times by Mary Barrett. God is good, a hiding place in tough times. He recognizes and welcomes anyone looking for help, no matter how desperate the trouble. God has never told us that we will never be free from troubles in this life, but he does assure us that no matter what those troubles are, he is there to help. All we have to do is invite him into our lives. We can then be confident that he will be with us in the thick of our struggles and will bring us through. So that's our book of our Little Prayers for Tough Times. Text us in TEF13 to 0488 880 891. Do join us again next time when we look at another miracle that happened when Paul and Silas were in prison and they sang in the midst of their troubles, singing through the storm. As we go out now, we pray that you encounter Jesus more today. This is The Same God by Hannah Kerr. Thank you for joining us.
The same God who makes the planets spin, tells the tide when it should rise, put the color in my eyes. The same God who makes the seasons change, knows the number of the stars, every secret in my heart, all my doubts, all my questions, and every fear I have about what might happen. You're the same. Me in the middle of it all, God, you're catching every tear as it falls. I know you'll never change, even when I'm feeling far away. You love me the same, God. You love me the same, God. You love me the same. God of grace and empathy, you know how it feels to cry, 'cause you lived a human life. You're not afraid of anything, even darkness is a light. There's no reason I should hide all my doubts, all my questions, and every fear I have about what might happen. You're the same.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.